Good morning. This is Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Chuck Hinman. The Rhode Island-based nonprofit, the Providence Plan, is dealing with the fallout of a major embezzlement discovery. News broke recently that the former director of finance was suspected of embezzling hundreds of thousands of dollars over several years. The Providence Plan now has seen the departure of both that finance director and the executive director. The nonprofit receives a variety of funding from state and federal sources and from foundations for its work on public policy and for the education and job training programs it manages. To discuss this issue, I talked to the outside executive brought in to manage the Providence Plan through this crisis.
My name is Jim Burson. I'm the interim executive director of the Providence Plan.
Well, good morning, Jim. Thanks for coming in and talking to us at Rhode Island Public Radio. To start with, the Providence Plan, what exactly does it do? How long has it been around?
The Providence Plan is really a city-state compact that was established in the early 1990s by the then-Governor Sundlin and then-Mayor Cianci to really look at a city-state partnership to drive resources and impact into the community, whether it's for teens that are looking for alternate pathways to high school and college graduation, or whether it is family child care providers that are getting the training and supports that they need so they can help all kids enter school ready to learn.
Now, what is your operating budget for a year?
We operate between $7 and $8 million a year based on kind of fluctuations that happen based on funding sources. Many of the grants that we receive are multi-year, which is great, but at some point they may come to a close, in which case we are always looking to secure additional funds to sustain the great work that we do in the communities we serve.
Now, how much was embezzled or thought to be embezzled?
At this point, we understand that it's over $600,000 that has been embezzled.
That's a pretty significant hit to the operating budget, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it occurred over a period of 4 years that we're best able to tell at this point. And certainly, you know, I've worked in nonprofits for really most of my career over the past 25 years. And, you know, nonprofits that are doing such great work in the community oftentimes live, or too often live, I should say, on razor-thin budgets. And so it is certainly a significant impact. The good news is that we are retaining the trust and support of our funders for the most part, and we're continuing to do great work. And what we're finding is that people and our funders really appreciate the wonderful services we offer.
I know you weren't there at all during this time, but how did this go on for so long without being discovered? Do you have any idea?
Well, so what I can tell you is this, is that when the embezzlement was discovered, the organization and the board of directors moved very quickly. They hired an outside legal counsel, and really it's a pro bono team offered by Brown Rudnick, that whose lead is a former white-collar crime prosecutor out of New York. They brought on a forensic audit group, and we are in the process of gathering all the facts as to what happened and when and why. And we are, as we gather the facts, we are making changes in our policies and protocols to make sure that these kinds of things never happen again.
Now, state police are also involved in an investigation?
That is my understanding.
Have they shared any of their findings with you that you know of?
As I said, I've been on the job about 2 weeks, but I am not aware of the police investigation specifics. And, you know, my understanding is that they generally keep that information pretty close to the vest.
So do you know anything more than we do about what actually occurred, or are we waiting for the investigations to be finished?
I think we know that there was one individual who forged checks and stole over $600,000 from an organization that's served the community nobly and essentially over the last 25 years. It was one bad actor that made off with his money. And we are trying to understand, you know, all the facts that led to it and how we can move forward.
I understand that the federal government has frozen funding for the Ready to Learn program.
That is correct.
Why did they do that?
I think out of an abundance of caution, they really want to make sure that we could accurately and adequately account for all expenditures over the past 3 years now, I guess. So they've asked for us to provide information around from the forensic audit and some of our analysis and some of the actions that we're taking moving forward so that they feel confident and comfortable that they can resume funding for us.
What impact is that likely to have on the program Ready to Learn?
Well, I think as previously described in some of the other press accounts, we are looking at some layoffs.
Any other impacts likely to hit other programs as well?
Not at this time. And, you know, we continue to do our investigation and we continue to work very closely in communication with our funding partners and our stakeholders to make sure that as we learn things, that they learn things. They've been very clear, and I think we've been very clear, that we're in this together. We're in this together for the community. We're in this together for the constituents that we serve. We're in this together for the kind of impact we want to make in our city and state.
Is this an existential threat to the Providence plan? Is the damage that bad?
I think at the end of the day, the best way to answer the question is that the community and our funders value highly the programs and services we offer and the impact we deliver. And I believe they're committed to that work, no matter what, because they see how important it is. And so we're navigating and negotiating that every day. We're answering the questions of our funders and trying to make sure that they remain comfortable and confident in our ability to be public stewards and at the same time continue to deliver the services that we've been known for over the past 25 years.
Well, Jim Burson, interim head of the Providence Plan, thanks for talking to Rhode Island Public Radio and best of luck going forward.
Thank you very much.